Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Making Sense of It All with Jesse Stakes. This week we're talking about business marketing. First off, I guess you have to ask yourself, what is business marketing? Well, to me, business marketing involves using every available resource to share, promote, and build awareness around your brand. The goal is to increase your customer base and to drive sales. Whether you're just starting out or you have an established business, in today's world, marketing is not optional. It's essential. Gone are the days of solely relying on word of mouth or the occasional print ad. Today, small business owners' marketing spans various platforms and utilizes multiple avenues to simultaneously stay in front of customers that utilize all kinds of ways to get their news and to just look at the things that they want to look at on a daily basis. My guest this week is Jaliza Centeno. She is the founder and CEO of Integral Marketing and Advertising. She and her team at Integral help business owners each and every day by providing a tailored approach to make sure that their clients' businesses are presented properly and to the right people that are seeking to do business with them. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Jaliza. Let's jump into it. Jaliza, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Jesse.
So high level, before we dive into everything, can you tell my audience what you do?
Sure thing. So I am a founder and CEO, and I can't believe that I am sitting here today saying those words, but here we are. I own Integral Marketing and Advertising, as Jesse just mentioned, and it is a full-service advertising firm. And one of our biggest differentiators, I would say, in the space, you might think, oh, great, another agency. There's over 6,000 of them in the industry, is really looking at clients' problems and their business challenges in a very holistic way. So for clients that come to us and say, my advertising isn't working, help, I take a step back. We take deep dives, we do discovery calls, and we figure out where the actual challenges are and provide solutions that are more in the marketing realm that impact your advertising. More often than not, clients think that all they need to do is fix a broken window so that the water stops coming into the house. But really, there's some cracks in the foundation that we need to fix. And so that's really what our agency stands for. We specialize in all sorts of industry. We are agnostic, mainly driven by my personal background. I've been in advertising since I was 20 years old. Worked at many different agencies across different industries, brands. I think I've worked over 50 brands that I have worked on.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So really, no challenge is too big or too small. No, it's not in my vocabulary. I actually think that's a problem. I say yes a little too much. I'm always like, the answer's not no, it's how.
And well, I think that helps you out probably with what you do for a living. Before we dive into all that, I mean, I appreciate you sharing that, but before we dive into all that, I always love to ask people, you know, what was it that inspired you or what was it that motivated you to get into marketing? I think you have an incredible backstory and I'd love you to share that with my audience.
Sure. So I'm a minority. I grew up in Lowell, Massachusetts, which isn't necessarily the best city to grow up in, but it's not the worst either, you know, depending on what lists you're looking at.
Sure.
I
think there's bad parts of every city.
There is. There definitely is. And I grew up in a family that was where I was first to everything, essentially, right? We moved from Puerto Rico when I was 6 years old. And I had to learn English on my own because my mom didn't know English, things like that. And so when it came to studying, doing homework and things, I only knew what I knew. I didn't
sure know
anything else outside of that regimen. When it came time to go to high school, I was in middle school and everyone was making this a big deal out of this school called Greater Lowell Tech. It's a vocational school. And everyone was saying that was the school to get into. No, if you went to Lowell High, you were basically just deemed for college and nothing greater than that. And I knew I wanted to go to college, but I didn't know why. So I decided to give it a shot and try and get into this book. And I did. And when I was there, I did various exploratories my first year to try and figure out what it is I wanted to be when I grew up. And I tried things that I thought I liked. Cosmo, fashion, which I've loved my entire life.
Sure.
Can't already tell. And I tried I tried home ec, which was culinary. I love to cook, I love to bake, thought that would be a fit, hated everything about it. Tried childcare education. I don't know why I did that. I couldn't get out of that exploratory fast enough. And then one day I was literally crying because we were here at the end of my last exploratory. I didn't have an idea of what I wanted to do. I didn't know how to pick an exploratory that I wanted to focus on as my shop. And one of my friends said, based on how I've gotten to know you this freshman year and what I know about you, I think you'd really like marketing. Have you tried that one? I said, I don't even know what marketing is. So she brought me over to the marketing teacher, introduced me. I told him what my problem was and why I was so upset. He asked me a few questions and he's like, I agree with her. You belong here. So we're going to do what we can to get you out of that exploratory and into this one. So you at least get to try marketing out for the last 4 weeks of the school year and see if you
Right.
want your shop. And I fell in love. I picked marketing. I loved everything about it. I loved the creative aspect, but the analytical and strategic side. And I didn't realize that entrepreneurship was built into marketing and, the product development and the promotions, announcements, and everything that has to do with how our world operates, the psychology of how to get a consumer to make a decision, whether it's impactful or just out of the blue. Like, it's just fascinated me. So when I went to college, I actually went for fashion merchandising because I thought, well, I still really love fashion and I love marketing too, but I want to see if there's something there. Maybe the fashion exploratory wasn't for me, but maybe there's still something in fashion for me.
Kind of blended too.
Blend the two, right? And so I didn't go specifically for design because then that would limit me into being a creative. I still
Right.
wanted to explore the scientific and creative side of me that were kind of tugging and pulling. There's people that classify themselves as right brain and left brain. And I feel like I'm both. I'm not necessarily
Sure.
the best at any one of the brains, but I've got both of them down in a way. So after college, where I had met my now husband, he was my boyfriend at the time. We've been together 19 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we moved to South Florida as soon as I graduated, just out of a whim. I was working retail, so was he. We weren't happy with our situation. We didn't know where we were going. Nothing really tied us to Boston other than family. And his brother was living down here, also on a whim. So we decided to, hey, give it a shot. We have nothing to lose. Just take a leap of faith. And we did.
Sure.
And I tried to get in the fashion industry when I got to South Florida, and it was grueling. Wasn't able to make it work. I was working crazy hours and I ended up getting pretty sick as a result of how much I was working at such a young age too. So he actually submitted my resume to Zimmerman Advertising in
Nice.
Lauderdale, and he submitted it for a creative role, which was interesting because I'm not a creative in a way. Like he sent me in for, I think it was like a copywriter role or something like that. And I'm meeting with HR and I've got this portfolio. Because back then, that's what you had to do, right? As part of your career process, when you had a portfolio that you would bring with you and paper resumes, by the way, the digital stuff. We had to print this out at like Kinko's.
Hey, I remember those days as well, so.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't that long ago.
Wasn't that long ago, but it feels like it. And laptops and having home computers was not a widely used thing. You had to go to the library sometimes to get this stuff done. So this was me. Going in there, I even had my own little business cards, like as professional as I possibly could be. I walk into Zimmerman, I was so intimidated. There was just a beautiful, beautiful agency, and they had this glass or plexiglass catwalk that connected the two buildings in the middle. And I remember walking through that to go to the front desk and say that I was here for an interview. I was so nervous, shaking, like you would not believe. The HR lady was quiet. I was like, I did not get this job. She doesn't like me. She's not saying a word, all those negative thoughts, right? I'm like, what am I doing here? I don't belong here. Like, I don't even know how to dress in a suit. Like, all this stuff was going through my mind. And she closes my portfolio and says, you know, I think that you'll be better in the media department. I was like, what's media? I've never heard of media. I went to a vocational school where I took up marketing for 3.5 years. I went to college where I did fashion merchandising, marketing and advertising were sub majors. I never heard of media. So she's
Right.
like, come walk with me. I'm going to introduce you to the department head. So we walk down to the media department and she introduces me to the VP and a few other people. I have great conversations. I didn't even feel at that point that I was in an interview. I was having conversations. I was asking questions mostly. I kind of felt like I was doing the interviewing in a way. It's like,
Okay.
I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what this is. Talk to me. What is media? What is it that you guys do? And then they gave me a test. They're like, do you know Excel? I said, yes. And apparently that was rare at the time to find people out of college that knew Excel because it wasn't widely used in schools like it is now. And so I went in, I did the test that they had me do. I did a they gave me a project that had to be executed in Excel. I did it. I did everything that they wanted me to do, submitted it, and it was like, see how it goes. The next day, I get a call that I got the job.
That's very cool. The biggest thing that I hear about this story that you're telling and kind of the beginning of your career is that you really did kind of put yourself out there and you were open to trying different things, and you had the opportunity, it sounded like, through the vocational school to try those different things. And I hear so many people in today's world say they're not sure what they want to do, or they don't know what avenue they want to go down. But it really, sometimes it's on you as a person. It's that old, if it is to be, it's up to me. And you've got to go out there and find it. You've got to go out there and put yourself out there, and you got to be willing to fail in order to figure out what it is that you're meant to be doing in this life.
Absolutely. And you know, there is this stigma of vocational schools that people who go there don't go to college because you do graduate with a license in your field to practice. You know,
Sure.
well, for plumbing, for example, you actually walk out with a diploma and a license to practice plumbing in an organization or to be able to join a union or whatnot. So it almost begs the question, well, why go to college, right? And a lot of parents are against vocational schools for that reason because they don't give the kids a reason to want to pursue higher education. I think it's the contrary. I feel like that is the perfect place to explore and mess up for free.
Right.
You
I
know,
couldn't agree more.
yeah, you think you like something, but you might not be good at it, or it might not be your passion, or just going to a vocational school where you get the chance to try different things will uncover a new passion you didn't know. I feel like a lot of people I grew up with picked fields that their parents were in because it's all they knew. But
Some did. I agree with that. Some do.
my question is to you then, who are you? Like, who do you want to become? You know? And I
I think
think
it's a
that's
wonderful
how you get
question.
started.
Well, and I think that there's also sometimes, like I think I fell into this boat, and I think a lot of people do, where if you were raised in a household where a college diploma was something that was looked at as success or something that was not achieved by other generations of your family, then people said, go get a college degree. But that college degree is just a piece of paper if you don't know what you're going to utilize it for. So I think that there's a whole lack of knowledge around secondary education and what it truly means for you and for your professional life, and how you're going to utilize that degree or that certificate or whatever it is that you're actually going after. So I didn't mean to derail you on telling your story, but I think that that is so important for the people that are listening, especially if they're in that situation where they're not really sure what they want to be when they grow up. And it's just, sometimes they just got to put themselves out there and be willing to try and be willing to kind of experience trial and error or some failure.
Exactly. You know, when I've had the opportunity to talk to some younger folks, one of my biggest advice to them is always don't take a year off something in the field you think you want to do. You know, whether it's going to a trade school, maybe after high school, you go to get an associate's degree or you go to a trade school instead before you decide to spend, you know, 60 plus on a college degree. Because it will save you a ton of money in the long run, and you at least have something to get you started in life. you don't need to have a PhD right away. You need to just figure out what it is you want and then invest in that. And even for my niece now, she graduated high school last year and she was like, you know, Titi, I think I'm going to take a year off. And I immediately was going to like flip out on her and say no, because I don't want her to not get motivated.
Sure.
Then I said, you know what? Take a year off, but figure out what it is you want to do and see if you can find a job, like an entry-level job in that field. And she did. And for the past, you know, 8 months or so, she's been working in the field she thought she wanted to get into. I got a text from her last week saying, I don't think I want to do this, but I don't want to leave this category altogether. So we started brainstorming on different things that she could try. And we arrived at a field that she can try as an associate's degree first, because they have it. And if it works, then proceed your education in that or pivot.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. All right. So back to your story here. I didn't mean to derail us so much, but so you're in your chosen profession. You got into marketing as a field, but then what is it that motivated you to go from an employee in the marketing field to actually starting your own agency?
I was mad. I was, you know, as I mentioned, I started my journey in South Florida, and anyone who knows Zimmerman, or at least the old school version of Zimmerman, I hear that a lot of evolution has happened. It had a reputation for being a sweatshop at the time. In the early 2000s, Zimmerman was a sweatshop. And I didn't know at the time what that term meant, but I experienced it firsthand. And it sucked because I fell into that role. I fell into media. I fell into advertising, but I loved it. I loved work. I loved everything about it. The research that went into it, the grind, the relationships that you had to build internally, externally. There was nothing about the job that I hated. I just didn't like the culture. So with that concept of the grass is always greener on the other side, right? I started to make moves. I moved up to Orlando, worked at an agency there that I absolutely loved. The agency, you know, no longer exists today because they merged with another bigger one, but at the time that I was there and looking back, it was the best agency in the world in terms of culture, the job, the types of clients, the relationships you were building, location, everything. And that for me became the North Star of what I wanted in my next job. And I had to leave that agency, unfortunately, because the writing was on the wall. They weren't doing well and they had lost their biggest account, which is the account that I was hired for. When you get hired for a specific account, that account leaves, you know the rules.
Right. You're
And I was newly engaged and my husband and I were like, let's move back to Boston, right? So then in Boston, I started moving around different agencies. I worked at big agencies, small agencies, mid-sized agencies, constantly looking for that feeling I had at White Partnership here in Orlando. And I couldn't find it. And I found instead that Boston agencies were still very much stuck in the Mad Men era to a point.
Okay.
Not extreme, but many scenarios and things. And I got to the point where I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't jump to another agency anymore. The grass was never greener. It was just a spray paint. Like I did not want to put myself through that again. I loved the work that I did. I was passionate about it. I'm damn good at it. But all of this bullshit was weighing me down. And I couldn't go into work another day. So I pivoted from advertising for 2 years and went on the marketing side, working in-house at clients, J. Jill, Raw Seafood, City Pier Seafood. And I still wasn't happy. And I was like, man, what is wrong with me? Like, am I the problem? Like, at some point, you got to point a finger at yourself and look at yourself and say, what's going on with me? Why is it that I am not happy at any employer that I'm at? Why is it that I'm the only one that can't say I've been here for 5 years, 10 years? Like, my longest tenure at an agency was 3 years. Like, what's wrong with me? I thought I was broken. So I decided to just take that moment that everyone always talks about, and it's cliche, but so important. Take that moment to turn around and look at yourself as a client. How do you dissect yourself? How do you build your brand? Who are you? So I did what I do for all my clients. I did a branding exercise. And I was like, all right, I plopped myself up on a value proposition canvas. And I was like, what are my pain points? What are my gains? Like literally down to that Crayola level when it comes to marketing and advertising. If I was to promote myself, how do I promote myself? Who is Jaleesa? What does she stand for? What drives her? What motivates her? And that's where I realized I can't work for someone else. It's not them and it's not me. It's who I am. That's the problem. I am an entrepreneur. I have been a hustler since I was a little kid. I've always had a side gig. Every time I had a full-time job, I had something on the side that I was also doing. I've started businesses and failed. Started another business, failed. Started another one, failed. I just failed at every business I started, but I was a serial entrepreneur. I always wanted to do something for me, something for myself. And at that point, I decided I'm done looking for another job. I'm done interviewing. I mean, I even got to the point where I didn't have to interview anymore. People just knew me and were like, "You're looking for a job? Like, we got you." Like, it was so weird, the last decade or so that I was like working in Boston. And I decided I was going to go off on my own and do
That's
my own thing.
wonderful.
And that
Well,
was it, and do what I love.
and I think if somebody takes something out of what you just said, it wasn't a problem. Like you keep saying, it was a problem, or that there's no problems in there. It's just you just didn't find the right fit or the right solution yet. And sometimes you have to create your own fit. You have to create your own solution for it to be right for yourself.
Exactly. Yep. And that's where Integral was born out of. I am bilingual. So Integral is one of those words that is spelled the same way in English and Spanish and has the same meaning. So in Spanish, it's Integral. And that was important to me. I am very connected to my roots. I'm proud to be Puerto Rican. I'm proud to be a Latina. I love representing my community, whether that is in social events or in business. And I have even more of a passion for brands that want to work with me to ensure that that market is being represented authentically too. So when I decided to go off on my own, it wasn't just, oh, we're going to start an agency. It was strategic. It was a strategic decision. The puzzle pieces that are doing my brand go back to my way of thinking. I'm very much of a puzzle person, and you give me a problem and it's a little pixelated, and I'm going to figure out all the pieces that we need to bring it together and make it a little more clear so that we know what our action items are, we know what we're doing, we know who our target is. We have an idea, we have a goal, we've got projections, we have our North Star, That's the person that I am. And so that's where the puzzle pieces came to be. The name came to be, as I just explained, from not just my roots, my background, me wanting to have that word, but also I'm one of those psycho people that saves all of the performance reviews. I had all of them in a binder. And I took out that binder and I started to read through these. What were the strengths that people pointed out for me? What were my weaknesses? I literally did my own SWOT analysis. And one word that came up in damn near every performance review was how integral I was to a project, to a team,
Nice.
to the agency. So I was like, okay, so people have used this word to describe me. I'm going to own it.
Nice. Very cool. That's awesome. That's a one. I mean, that's a really cool story of how your agency has come to be. Do you find that the fact that you are serving the Latino market and the fact that you're trying to bridge that gap as far as excuse me, as far as giving them, something that makes sure that you represent the community in a way that you see fit. Do you feel like that was an underserved market, or do you feel like it is con that it continues to be underserved, or do you feel like you have a lot of competition as far as the way you have branded yourself?
That's a great question, and I don't think that there's a black and white answer to it because I think it depends on the region and the firm. I think that there are firms that do it well and excel in it, and there are markets that do it well as well, like Central Florida, Miami, Fort Lauderdale. You can't be inauthentic in those markets. You would fail completely as a
No
business.
doubt.
But
But you're really competing. I mean, you're competing nationwide, if not worldwide, sometimes with in the field of marketing and advertising in today's world.
yeah. Oh, absolutely. Marketing and advertising is everything. Even if you think you're against advertising, you are either enticed by it in a way that you are not realizing, or you are doing it yourself. Like,
No doubt.
in marketing, advertising runs the world. Without it,
No doubt. It's like sales. Every business needs it. Every business has to have it.
absolutely. But to answer your question, I did experience firsthand at many of the agencies that I worked at where one of the biggest issues where clients would come and say, okay, this is our budget for advertising. These are our business goals. These are our target audiences. Run. And the general market was always prioritized. The biggest budget
Sure.
went to the market. The creative concepting went to the creative, to the general market. Media buy was put together for general market. And then it was, oh, and we also got to do Hispanic. And it became almost like a copy paste translate to the Hispanic market. So it was inauthentic. And I, you know, I even recall vividly instances where I'm sitting next to the copywriter and they're literally translating a script for audio in English to Spanish. And I'm telling them, I'm sitting right here. Talk to me. I can help you. And they're like, no, you're not a creative. Your media, like, know your lane type of thing. And that was one of the things that really bothered me. And I was like, but dude, you're not translating things correctly. Like, Google can translate the word, but not the intent.
Sure. No, that makes perfect sense.
That's where the inauthenticity comes in. When you're just translating, yes, the words are correct, but the meaning is no longer there. And
right.
As a community, we see right through that. And that was one of my drivers. And one of the things that I set out to do was making sure that clients who had a desire to reach the Hispanic market or who do have Hispanic audiences that participate in their businesses in one way or another are being reached authentically, not a copy paste translate. I do not do that. It's like if we have a client that has general market and Hispanic market initiatives, both initiatives get executed simultaneously. They both have the same deadlines. They both have the same deliverables and they both get delivered accordingly, not first by one or the other or one on top of the other.
Now, I think that's very important. And I don't think that a lot of people realize the significance of what you're saying as far as it, when you take something that's in English and you just translate it to Spanish or any other language for that matter, there's a lot of intent that's missed. I'll give you an example. I worked for a large company and it was a nationwide company and they utilized all of their marketing pieces were done in English. And then to your point, for the markets that had Spanish speaking citizens, they would translate them to make sure that they could say, here, we also do this in Spanish. But to the point that you're making, that's all that was done. It was just a translated copy of what already existed. It was not done specifically for their market. So I think that they felt it. I think that it was one of those things that was not missed on that community. And then that business wonders, why are we not having the same traction in the Spanish speaking community that we are in the English speaking community? And I think there are real answers that if they're not engaging someone like yourself, if they're not having that true real feedback, they're not getting to the real answer, the real why that doesn't exist.
Exactly. And, you know, oftentimes what happens is clients then say, well, the Hispanic market doesn't work for me. I'm not going to invest in them because I'm not getting the return. And that's
right.
When you go back to the roots and the core of my business. It's all about taking a deeper dive into figuring out what the actual problem is and solving.
No doubt.
It's not that the Hispanic market's not responding. It's not that the Hispanic market's not returning favorably for you. It's that you're not doing the right work to get to them authentically. That is the challenge we solve for.
Well, and let's be real. The Spanish-speaking market in the United States is probably one of the fastest-growing markets that somebody can serve currently.
Yes.
It's
yes.
only going to grow. It's not getting any smaller.
Exactly.
So that being said, I know you had said in the beginning of this that you're essentially industry agnostic, that you don't necessarily focus on any industry. Are there any size clients, like as far as larger or smaller, that you feel like is a better fit for your agency? Or is there kind of a limit to the size, like when they get to a certain size, they're too big? Or is there a limit on the other side where somebody's too small to work with you guys?
Yeah, great question. And let me explain why. When I started the company 4 years ago, it was success by 1,000 cups, right? It, you know, any business was business that I wanted to work on. And the large majority of the clients that gave me a chance were the small ones, the small startups, right? And I will always be grateful to that. And so for that reason, I don't turn anyone away.
Sure.
For small clients, startup clients, I have a business model that works for them. It's more of a consultative approach where, you know, it's a more attainable rate to them. They get access to me and my team in certain ways. But naturally, you know, we can't give them full service like we would a mid or large size client, because at the end of the day, we have bills that we need to be that need to be
No
paid, right?
doubt.
Salaries need to be paid.
There's a cost to service. Service costs money.
Exactly. But I do work with all size clients in capacities that work for their business in a position that they're in at that time. I have
Okay.
helped startups for as little as like $500 here and there for just a couple consulting sessions, you know, if that's all they need to get started, and all the way up to having clients that spend 90 million annually. Like I have experience in all sizes, so I don't turn anyone away. In terms of our team size right now, we are a small company, but with opportunity comes growth. And so even if it's a client that's too large for us right now, again, going back to my problem-solving abilities, I'm not turning them away. It's just let me build the right team. Luckily, I have a strong network. I love people. I love networking. I'm always out and about, and I've got networks not only in Boston, but also in Orlando that I can tap into if I need a specific service that I don't have at that time. It will get done. It's a matter of how.
Well, and I got to imagine in 2024, with the rise of things like artificial intelligence, that even though you guys are a smaller agency, it really does allow a small agency to compete with some of the largest businesses out there, especially when you're putting tools in place for your clients. Yes?
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. And you know, there's also so much that can be automated now too. You know, and I feel like a broken record at this point. I'm sorry for constantly repeating myself, but it just goes back to that. It's discovering what the real challenge is. What are we solving here? Are we
Sure.
solving for resources? Are we solving for a specific need? Or are we solving because you need certain things in-house that we can help you attain, and then we take on whatever else is needed, whether it's that strategic guidance or executing something that is going to be too expensive for you to have in-house. Like, what are those areas that we can help you be more accountable for your advertising and your marketing while still having our support?
Well, and I don't think you sound like a broken record. What I do here that comes through loud and clear is that your service is consultative, that it really isn't, it's not something to where I can ask you a question and you can just give me a one size fits all answer. You've got to actually bring in the information about the client and the business that you're serving in order for you to give them a proper answer and an answer that actually truly fits what their business needs, not just something that you're trying to throw out for the sake of a show or for the sake of just saying a buzzword or saying something that might catch somebody's attention. That
Exactly. You
being,
said it better than I could have.
well, all that being said, and I feel like you and I could talk forever here. I feel like there's so many things to go down, and I feel like that there's a lot of information that people can benefit from hearing from you. But that being said, if somebody's listened to this conversation and if they've been intrigued, if they feel like you would be a good fit for their business, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you and your team?
I would say email. We all love email. So that would be the best way. And it would be info at integral-mktgadv.com. And that is the abbreviation of marketing and the abbreviation of advertising together. And I'm sure, Jesse, that you could probably put that on the bio somewhere.
No doubt, no doubt. I'll make sure that that's under this video or under the podcast when I put it out everywhere.
And
Jaliza, I
always the website and social media profiles too, but I feel like email is the best way, and it's the way that normally everyone gets a hold of me too.
no doubt. Start a conversation and see what comes from it. I think this has been excellent. I absolutely would love to have the opportunity to bring you back on and really talk about more things that are more specific to people's situations or the opportunities that people have to partner with you in your business. And I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you so much for your time and for the opportunity to come in today.
Before I wrap up, I just wanted to say a couple of things. Effective marketing is about adapting to changes, staying informed, and connecting with your audience in meaningful ways. Whether you're a local bakery, a consulting firm, or an online store, a well-executed marketing strategy can make all the difference in your business's success. It's going to do it for us today. I'll catch you guys next time.